Father, we just thank you for everything, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. We pray, God, as we come to you this morning with open Bibles, that in the same way our hearts are open to receive your word, God. Not my words, but your words. And so we pray by your Holy Spirit that you would anoint this time, that you would protect this time. We pray against distractions. We pray that even though it may get a little bit warmer in here, we pray, God, that our focus would be upon you and not our condition. We pray that as we study your word, God, that we would be equipped and strong Christians, faithful Christians, obedient Christians, ready to just share with this world the love of Jesus Christ. Let us never forget that you've called us to that task, to preach the gospel. And so I pray that our lives would be the open gospel to many, and that many will come to know you. We ask your blessings upon the scriptures today, and that they would find their ways into our hearts and then lived out in our lives. We love you, God, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hebrews chapter 5, the first four verses lay a strong foundation that the writer will build upon as we go through the next, actually, three chapters. He's going to reveal to his readers, and I believe to us this morning, that the office and responsibilities of the high priest were so very important, and a call from God. That will also lead to the place that Jesus ultimately fills as the great high priest. But he's going to lay that foundation first and foremost. The high priest, listen, was a servant of God, called by God, there to minister to God, to serve in the temple, to maintain the things of the temple. And he was a servant to also the children of Israel as he brought sacrifice and offered them to the Lord. So he had a very important job. But again, we can't forget the simple truth was that he was a servant of the Lord. He was a servant of God. And serving the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, is a great privilege, is it not? A great privilege to serve the King, to serve Jesus, to serve the Lord. Not always easy, not always comes naturally, but in a sense, in every Christian's heart, all who have the Spirit of God indwelling them have the privilege of serving the Lord. Okay? From the mighty men of faith, the mighty men and women who went and were the front lines, if you will, of forwarding the gospel and getting the word out about Jesus Christ, to every single person who will bow their knee in the quiet solitude of prayer, is a servant of God. And I ask you this morning, are you embracing that privilege of serving the Lord? And again, not a job, not an occupation, not a career. No, but just, God, use me today. I want to serve you in some way. And how do we serve the Lord? Jesus Christ was very clear. If you give even the least of these a glass of water in my name, you've done it to me. You've served the Lord. So whatever we do, any door that we open and invite someone in, any opportunity that we have to share Scripture is an opportunity to serve God. Serve God, not in our own strength, in His strength. That's why it's so important that I said the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit gives us direction to serve the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, you'll be overhead, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let a man so consider us," Paul says, "as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Faithful. And I feel this is so important when we think about this topic of being servants of the Lord, that there must be faithfulness there. Faithfulness. Not all of us need to be the mouthpieces for God. Not all of us need to be out on the front lines. But no, we just need to be faithful, listen, to what God has created us to be. Are you faithful to what God has created you to be? And I know sometimes when we ask that question or think about that, we immediately start to think about what I think I'm good at, about what I think I'm able to do for God. And there's a difference. There's a difference between what I want to do and there's a difference between what God wants me to do or has equipped me to do or has called me to do. Would you agree with that? Yes. Now, serving the Lord, again, needs to be something that comes from a heart of faithfulness and commitment. I've seen a lot of well-meaning intended Christians start out but never continue. And it's sad. It's sad. And you certainly we must evaluate, was it God that stopped them, or was it them that they stepped out too soon? It's we got to know what we're doing as we serve the Lord. And Hebrews chapter 5, as I said, laying that foundation of the high priest, in the temple, that will ultimately take us to Jesus Christ, the great high priest. But that foundation must be laid to the responsibilities that the high priest had as serving God. Today we will discover, if you're taking notes, three blessings of being servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three blessings of being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse 1, chapter 5, if you will. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Give me your attention. Those four verses will be our area of discussion today, and then we'll go around in the Bible. Serving the Lord, being a servant of the Lord. Again, three blessings. We're going to look at one. The first one is in the first verse. Serving the Lord is amazingly rewarding. Serving the Lord is amazingly rewarding. It has to have faithfulness, though. Okay? We must be faithful. Sorry, I had to move my mic. We must be faithful and committed to doing what God calls us to do in order to receive the reward. But I believe within the process of serving God, there are rewards along the way. There are rewards along the way. Again, in verse 1, it says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may both offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Listen, two things the high priest had the privilege of doing. Two things that were appointed to him and called to by him. Those two things, he was to offer gifts and sacrifices. He was to offer gifts and sacrifices. Gifts refer to any offerings that were presented to God. Any offering that was presented to God. Do you realize that every day, every opportunity you have an opportunity to offer something to God? Something. We may not think we have much, but we have something to offer. Do you offer anything to the Lord? Do you offer your time? Do you offer your gifts and talents? Do you offer your treasures? What is it you're offering to God? Again, even time in our devotions, even times in our quiet times of prayer, we're offering sacrifice to God. And it's those little things that help us keep our perspective between He's God and we're not, and we need Him. And we need to serve Him with the right heart. You see, every priest, it says, again, for every high priest is taken from among men. God chose men to be servants of His. It's a call that comes from God. What an amazingly rewarding thing to be called by God. To think about your life making a difference in the life of one other. And I've always asked myself, is my life going to make a difference if I just change one person's heart? Is my life of value if one person comes to Christ? I say absolutely. One person, one heart, one soul that's saved from eternal hell? Absolutely. Then my life makes a difference. Now, we certainly realize that there are opportunities that God opens those doors for many lives to be changed. But you know what the thing is? You may never know if you've changed not even one life. You may never know. You may not even know the things that you've done. I've been blessed enough in my life, and probably you have too, for some people to come up to me and say, because of you, my life is better. I'm closer to the Lord because you answered the call to come here and to preach the word. My life has changed. That's a blessing to me. That is an amazing reward that I get to receive because of my faithfulness to God and to see people's lives changed. And there's no doubt in my heart that if you will just offer something to God, offer yourself to God, to serve Him, you will too also touch another's life. The thing is, we know ourselves, don't we? We don't deserve a reward. I don't deserve any credit because everything that I am is because what God has done in me and shown me. Just not too long ago, 2 days ago, someone said to me that they learned something from me. We were talking about something that they had done, and they looked at me and they said, I learned that from you. And I'm like, what? Yes, I do that because you showed me how to do that. It was very humbling. It was very ministering to me. But you know what I said to him? I turned back. I said, you learned that from me because I learned that from him. Amen. I learned that from him. So ultimately, he taught us, I said. He taught us how to be obedient in the things that we have. Because there's, trust me, I'm like Paul. There's no good thing in me except for the Spirit of God. When I'm Rob, you don't want to be around me. When I'm living the way God created me to be, maybe I can be tolerated for a little while. Because I know me. I know my frustrations. I know the things that want to come out of my mouth that I won't allow to come out of my mouth by the power of God. But they're there. We're just that way. Now, I want you to remind you also of something, that priests bring man to God. Prophets bring God to man. Okay, so we're talking about priests who bring man to God. That is the job of a priest. High priest had the job of bringing people to the presence of God, into the thought of God. And in a sense, as Christians, we can all be those priests that help people get to God, to be those examples. You've heard me say, be a living business card for Jesus Christ, that people would see your life and go, I'm going to make that call. I'm going to go to that address. I want to be a part of what Jesus Christ has for me. So be that. See, it's an incredible privilege it is to guide people in the ways of the Lord. There's nothing greater. I am thrilled when I see growth in people's lives that I have had the privilege of ministering to. There's nothing greater than that. In my opinion, to see someone walk, it's like children when you teach them and instruct them how to walk, and all of a sudden they're walking on their own. That's a blessing. You teach them how to ride a bike. All of a sudden, they're out riding their bike. I mean, it's just a blessing to you. Wow, I helped them and guided them in that way. That's what the high priest's job was to do, was to direct them to the Lord. But they come from men. The stock that God uses is flesh. Doesn't that amaze you? I mean, it's just like sometimes I go, really? I mean, I think angels could do better jobs sometimes than us. We're full of holes. We're full of mistakes. But I feel like, though, God says, yeah, I use you, because then they know it's me. They have no doubt that it's me that did it. Amen back there. Because sometimes you can feel so unworthy to be used by God, but God uses us anyway, not because that you are worthy, but that he can be magnified. That's what it is. It's about him being magnified. And Jesus said it this way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you? No. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we got to be careful that the things that we do, the way that we serve the Lord, isn't drawing attention to ourselves. I'm writing a book, and you need to buy it. Don't ever buy a book I write. Please. I say never, but you can't say never in God's house. But I will never have a book that has my face on it. No way. It's like, no, I'm going to put Jesus' face on it. I want to write a book that brings people to the Lord, that guides them to the Lord so that our lives are pointing in that way. Because it's not my light that's shining, is it? Is it your light that's shining? I don't know about you, but my light is like a night light compared to the light of Christ. I want his light to shine through us so that God will be glorified. That is an amazing privilege. That is an amazing honor. So we see this high priest offering gifts and sacrifices. Jesus said something very wisely. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. We're going to pick up in verse 23. Okay. Well, Matthew 5, let's go to verse 21 for context. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, verse 23, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Now, I want you to see something here. How do we bring our gifts to God? What are the gifts that we do bring to God? What do we have that we could give God that he would have need of? Think about that. I buy you a gift because I know that you want that gift. We bring gifts to God not because he needs them, but because it shows him that we love him and that we care about him. Our gifts that we bring to God in the altar like this is prayer, isn't it? We bring prayer to God. We bring worship to God. That is our gift that we can give to God, is by worshiping him and standing and lifting our hands and saying, "We exalt thee. We exalt thee." I don't know about you, but I need to say that from time to time in my day, not just on Sunday mornings. I need to be driving down the road going, "I exalt you, Lord." I need to be going through the shopping market, "I exalt you, Lord." Why? Because when I'm exalting him, I'm putting myself in my proper place, and I'm able to serve God because my focus is upon him. So it's prayer, it's worship, it's service, it's certainly resources, it's certainly being faithful in the tithe and giving to God. Does he need money? I mean, really. We don't send the money that goes in that box to heaven. The money that goes in that box, we pray and we put it at the places that will forward the gospel, that will spread the word of God. Certainly it provides rent and those types of things, but they don't go to God. God doesn't need our money. He needs our hearts. He needs our soul. When you bring a gift, what is Jesus saying? Bring your gift. When you come to the altar, when you come in prayer, when you come in worship, and you stand there and you go, "Somebody's mad at me. Somebody has something against, I've done something that's hurt somebody." In that time of prayer, in that time of worship, you're reminded of that. What are you to do? You just stop and go and be reconciled? Perhaps. If the Spirit of God tells you, you need to go and tell that person you're sorry. You know, to go back to that person and pay them back for the money that they gave you that was too much. Whatever it is that God tells you to do, but maybe it's just in that heart place where you go, "God, I'm here to worship you. I'm here to pray to you. And now I realize I've hurt someone." Because notice, it doesn't say, if you remember someone's done something to you. Right? Isn't that the first thing when we're praying? So-and-so hurt me. So-and-so did this to me. Well, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you come to that place, you're going to bring your gift to God. "God, I love you. I'm going to worship you. I want to give this to you. I want to give you my time, my talent, my treasure. And then I remember someone has something against me because I've done something wrong." He says, go make it right. Make it right so that your heart is right. Don't forget what it says in verse 16 of chapter 4 we learned last week. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Boldly coming to the throne means I'm coming knowing I have no garbage, no baggage, nothing that's holding me back. So when you come into prayer and you realize you've done something, you ask forgiveness right there. Say, "God, I'm sorry I hurt that person." And maybe you make that commitment, "The next time I see him, I'm going to say something." It's getting your heart right, guys. We've got to bring those gifts to God and come boldly in prayer with our right relationship so our hearts are right. Because I believe it's those times in prayer that the Spirit will remind us of our wrongs. He will remind us, if we're willing to listen, of the things that we need to get right. Because really, isn't prayer more moving us to the position of God rather than God moving to him to our position? That's what prayer does. Why is it important to bring gifts to the Lord? I want to give you three things. Why is it important to bring gifts to the Lord? Number one, to show your appreciation for all God has done. Think about that. The times that you come in here to worship God, you just go, "God, I'm just so glad I get to worship you. I am appreciative of what you've done in my life. I'm appreciative of the way you're working and orchestrating things in my life, and I'm here to worship you." So we show appreciation to God for what he's done. Number two, to make the proclamation that God is greater than whatever we're giving him. Right? I mean, God says what? In the sacrificial system, you didn't bring your weak and almost dead lamb, did you? No, you brought your best. You brought the best to God because that was a proclamation that, "God, you're greater than any great thing I have." That helps us, doesn't it? It helps us have the right perspective, that we proclaim that he is greater. You are worthy, Lord. You are exalted. And then finally, to confirm your demonstration that God is on your mind, that you're demonstrating that you're thinking about God. Because I don't know about you, but what time is it? It's 10:35. And I've thought about myself a lot today already. Have you? Yes, we think about ourselves so much that it's hard to find the times to think about God. And it's rewarding for us to realize that it's God who uses us to change the life of someone else. Someone's life changed that helped us come to the Lord. And now we have the privilege of doing the same. And then finally, back in Hebrews, the last part of this first point, that serving the Lord is amazingly rewarding, is that the high priest was able to bring sacrifices on behalf of the people. Not only was he able to give gifts and blessings, he was also able to bring sacrifices for sin. The high priest offered sacrifices for the people's sin, which is an incredible privilege. When you think about the ability to lead someone to a place of repentance, it's the same idea. When someone is frustrated at their spouse, or when someone is so angry at their boss, or when their children are driving them crazy, or their employees are just, and you bring them to the place where they can humbly get their hearts right before God and repent. That's an amazing privilege, a great honor. The sacrifices made way for people to be in right relationship with God. How can that not be a great blessing for us? As servants of the Lord, to know that we help people get in right relationship with God. As I stand here and speak, I can think of several people whose lives are better because their focus was put back on the Lord, because their focus was put back on Christ. And I don't know how far back you got to go in your life when you remember that you were living disobediently, or when you were living without the Lord in your life. Or when your marriage was not the one that honored God. I don't know how far back you got to go, but where are you today? Where are you today? Where you've made the sacrifices, you've made the commitment to do what the Bible teaches us to do and to put us in that place where we're in right relationship with each other, which makes us in right relationship with God. That is an amazing blessing. And this should remind us of the fact that Jesus' sacrifice was given once for all. Because don't miss it. It says he made sacrifices, plural. And we'll see that again in a moment. But Jesus' sacrifice was once for all. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. What's the matter? You don't like Romans 6? Romans 6, look at verse 10. Couldn't resist. Romans 6 and 10 says, "For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." A great reminder here that Jesus died once upon the cross, in the grave 3 days, rose again, one time for all. Therefore, we cannot live as Christians freed from sin if we continually look at that sacrifice that was done once for all and think it has to happen again, or it wasn't sufficient for your sin. See, I believe that one of the things in the church that cripples it are Christians inside the church that are still bound by their sin. Bound by the sin in your life. Because why? Because you're in that place where I'm going to try and get it out of my life because I know that's what God wants. Instead of saying, God, I need your help. I'm repenting of my way. Help me, God. To die once for all, like it says in verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Which means sin doesn't have power over you any longer. That's what it means. You're still going to sin. But sin no longer has that power over you because you have one greater than that sin that has paid the price for you. I don't know about you, but that is an amazing reward that we get to have as servants of God, to lead people to that place to be freed from their sins. Back to Hebrews 5, point number 2. Not only is serving the Lord amazingly rewarding, serving the Lord is personally convicting. Personally convicting. Look at verse 2 again. He can have compassion, this thing does not want to stay, on those who are ignorant and going astray. Isn't that nice? Since he himself is also subject to weakness, because of this he is required as for the people to all, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. See, the servant of the Lord can have compassion on people. A servant of the Lord can never, should never, could never have a hard heart. If we're truly serving the Lord, did Jesus ever have a hard heart? Did Jesus ever not show compassion? Did Jesus ever not come into the world and look around and see the condition of the sinful people around him and not his hard heart break? That's where the servant of the Lord's heart must be, a place of brokenness. So I want to ask you right now, that person that's troubling you, that person that's just driving you crazy, that I don't know who it is, but there's someone in your life that is like that. You got to have compassion for them, especially if they don't know Jesus. Especially. If they don't know Jesus, they need to know Jesus so they can be changed. Because you're the way you are because Jesus is in your life and he changed you, right? Isn't that true? So we got to have the right heart, guys. There was a special sense that the high priest possessed, and that was a sense of compassion. As he's offering sacrifices, he's realizing that these sacrifices, these innocent animals, are dying for people's sins, and he had compassion. Christians have to have compassion. That doesn't mean we get walked all over. Listen, that doesn't mean we're weak. Compassion is not a matter of strength. Compassion is a matter of the heart and realizing where people are and where they come from. As soon as my heart starts getting hard, I know that I'm starting to act more selfish. And I need to ask God to soften my heart. And that's what we need to do, to have this compassion for fallen people. Pride sets in when you begin to believe you are better than someone else. Do you hear me? Pride begins to set in when you believe you are better than someone else, when you believe that the sacrifices that God has made for you are more worthy than for someone else. And that's the heart. That's truly the mentality here. Instead, we're equals, are we not? We're equals in Christ. It's level ground at the foot of the cross. I don't know about you, but there are no levels in the house of God. There's no levels when we stand at the foot of the cross. We're all humans fallen by grace. Romans 12:3, Wendy, you going to put up there? For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And that's to say, think of others more highly than yourself. Think of others more worthy than yourself, but also think soberly. It doesn't mean that you're worthless and that you're a nobody. Thinking soberly means thinking intelligently and realizing that I am important in the house of God. So we can go on both ends. We can have that heart of pride, or we can have that sense of false humility as well. See, God wants to use you, and he can use you. But because the high priest is weak and because the servant of the Lord is weak, we can have compassion on people. Because we too, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be ignorant. Amen? Hey! Oh boy. But again, look at verse 3. Because of this, because of his compassion, because of the people's position, he is required for the people as also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. The high priest was required to offer sacrifices, plural. He had to continually do this. Can you imagine this guy's job? Continually, nonstop, offering animal after animal for sins? It must have been very difficult, right? Must have been very difficult for them, for the sins of the people and for himself, a constant job. We live in a day-to-day. Today, we have salvation through Jesus Christ, who was the sacrifice, singular, right? Not sacrifices, plural, sacrifice, singular. But that does not mean we have a license to continue to sin. It does not mean we don't have a license, because it's not constantly before us in our faces like this. We need to remember that the sin that's in our lives need to be dealt with today, right now, because Jesus died for us. Don't live another second being burdened down with the sin in your life. Jesus died to set you free once and for all. That's why it's convicting. That's why it's convicting when you pray with someone to receive the Lord. It convicts you. It's like, Lord, you're using me to lead someone to you. It's so rewarding, so thankful, but it's also so convicting because I know the condition of my heart. I'm human just like they are. And so that's why that second point is so important, as it convicts us. But look at the final point, and this is where we close, verse 4. And no man takes this honor on himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. We have serving the Lord is amazingly rewarding. Serving the Lord is personally convicting, but finally, serving the Lord is incredibly honoring. Honoring. Incredibly honoring. No man takes this honor to himself. No one can stand before God and say, I did this. It's me. Serving the Lord is an honor, but the honor only can come from God. If God wants to give you attention, let God do that. If God wants to put you in a position where you're a leader, let God do that. If God wants to lift you up, because the Bible says very clearly, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he will lift you up. So there will be times when he does that. But for his glory, for sure. Not for our own. The office of priest was not something that was chosen as a job. Aaron didn't ask for it. Aaron didn't stand before God and say, God, pick me, I want to do it. No. God chose Aaron and his sons and chose that lineage forever to serve as priests. It was a call upon their life. God's call was limited to Aaron and his descendants. No one outside that family could serve in the tabernacle or in the temple. Ever. As Christians who serve God, called by God to serve. 1 Chronicles 23:13 says this, the sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, is that up there? Yes. And Aaron was set apart, he and his sons forever, that he should sanctify the most holy things, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, look at this, and to give the blessing in his name forever. Love that song. Aaron was chosen by God, set apart to serve the Lord. It was something he called. Do you know as Christians we're called to serve God? To serve in his house, to serve him, and to serve people. But notice that last part. Is it still there at the bottom? It says, and to give the blessing in his name. Wow. What an honor it is to be able to pass on blessings to people in God's name. To bless someone. Don't you like it when someone blesses you? Wow. I do. I'm going to stand. I do. Bless me. I like it. But we have the opportunity as Christians, as servants of the Lord, to bless other people and to see how blessed they are by what God has done through you. That is an amazing honor. I can't believe nobody wanted to be a part of that. Aaron had the honor of blessing the people. And this is our last verse, Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. So you like to be blessed, but you don't like to bless people. That's what you're saying. Numbers 6, verse 22. Where's Lisa Rasmussen? Is she serving in the children's ministry? If you're around Lisa Rasmussen very long, she will pray this over you or when you leave her house. Numbers 6 and verse 22. Look at this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Aaron, his children, the high priests, had the privilege and the honor to pass on God's blessings to the people. Certainly he made sacrifice for their sins to cover, make them right relationship with God. But then he was able to turn to them and said, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. I want the Lord to bless you. I want the Lord to keep you. I want the Lord to make his face shine upon you. I want you to be so blessed in your life that you can't hold on to all the blessings that God gives to you, that you have to pass them on to someone else. See, we too, as Aaron was the high priest to pass on blessings, we too as Christians were told by Jesus Christ to pass on blessings. And you're asking, where is that? The Great Commission says to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them the things that I have shown you. Those are blessings, my friends. To teach them, to bless them, to make them disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them the ways of God. That is how we, as servants of the Lord, bless other people. We lead them to Christ because he's the one where the blessings come. As it says at the end, verse 27 again, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. Aaron didn't bless anybody. He just passed on the blessing from God. So guys, serving the Lord is so rewarding because you get to be a part of watching people's lives change. Serving the Lord is convicting because we know we're no more worthy than they are. So it is convicting. But it's also honoring because we are able to pass on blessings to others. If you have been blessed, pass on those blessings. I believe that if we would, in a sense, and not making it a program or anything like that, but to really just pray this, because I know when Lisa says it when I leave her house, she means it. It's not just a routine thing that she says. This is from her heart. You can see it in her faith. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And if we truly would pray this for each other and do this, you know, when you say goodbye, say, may the Lord bless you. And don't let it be like when we say, hey, how are you today, when we really don't care how you are today. We do that, don't we? Hey, how are you today? And we're not even listening, we're moving on. But if we truly would greet someone and say, God bless you, or send someone with God's blessings upon them, I think if we began to receive the blessings from God, we wouldn't worry about the things that are going on in our lives. We wouldn't be so nervous and so fretted over the tragedies that are happening in our country because we're being blessed by God. I believe Christians are the only ones that can live through an economic crisis and be happy about it. Why? Because our rewards are in heaven. Our rewards are not in stock markets, are not in savings accounts. Be good stewards with the resources God gives you, absolutely. But our rewards are in heaven. And that's where we need to be investing today. If we're going to truly be servants of the Lord, we need to serve him with the right heart and the blessing to know that, God, you've done it in my life. I want to see you do that in someone else's life. Father, we love you so very, very much today and every day. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, that you call us out of the world into your house. And those who have come here this morning who know you, God, I just pray blessings over them, that you would bless them and keep them and shine your face upon them, that you would guide them in the way that you want them to go, God. But I also pray perhaps for those who have come today that have not made that commitment to you, that have not opened their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, have not received them, their Savior. God, I pray that their eyes and hearts have been opened this morning. That to serve you, we first must accept you. And so if there are any here this morning, God, I pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, bring that conviction of sin in their hearts so that they can deal with that issue this morning. They can cast their cares upon you because you care for them. That today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, help us not to forget the word today. Help us not to forget Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 that teach us how to serve you with the right heart. We thank you for those blessings. We ask, God, that you would bless the rest of our day as we keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and finisher of our faith. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.